Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. I just left a very informative briefing with Buffalo ICE officials to discuss how their operations have changed under President Trump's new executive orders. It has been just 1 week to the day since President Trump was sworn into office, and he is following through on his commitment to secure our borders and to conduct deportations, starting with the most dangerous criminal illegals who pose a threat to our safety and to national security. The country of Colombia tried to deny the return of their citizens this week. And President Trump showed the world that he means business. And within 6 minutes, the president of Colombia announced that he is back down and would allow the repatriation of Colombians that came to this country illegally. This is exactly what strong leadership looks like. This is about the safety and the sovereignty of the United States of America, and it's what the American people demanded when they elected President Trump back to the White House and gave Republicans control of both houses of Congress. From moving active duty troops to the border, to targeted raids of violent criminals, to enhanced vetting for visa applications, to reinstating the Remain in Mexico policies. This is bold and decisive action, and we need to get this crisis under control. These are common sense policies that prioritize the safety of American citizens. That is our number one priority as elected officials. It is deeply disturbing, if not unsurprising, watching the hand-wringing by elitists in the media and the Hollywood elite. And you have to ask yourself the simple question, do you stand with public safety? Do you stand with the rule of law, American sovereignty, stopping the scourge of fentanyl in our streets and our communities? Or do you stand with the cartels who have made billions exploiting the weaknesses at our borders? We have allowed them to grow into a behemoth, smuggling drugs and human trafficking operations. And it takes tremendous resources to undo the damage that we've seen in the last 4 years and to truly make our country secure once again. It defies common sense that as a nation, we allowed this to happen. Criminal illegals are hiding in plain sight. Some quietly planning terrorist attacks, like the Afghan national who was thankfully thwarted before he was able to execute his plans on Election Day. Gang members, rapists, child abusers, drug dealers, some of the worst criminals that you could imagine exploiting our nation's lax immigration policies that we had in the last 4 years. We witnessed the horror of a young innocent American, Lincoln Riley, murdered by an illegal immigrant who was arrested for abusing a minor right here in the state of New York. But instead of being deported, was shielded by government officials who care more about a woke leftist political agenda than the safety of our fellow Americans. That killer was let to go free. He went to Georgia and killed Lincoln Riley, a college student just trying to live her life. The officials that enabled that have Lincoln's blood on their hands, and there's dozens, if not hundreds, of stories like that across the country. We don't even know the true number of people who have illegally crossed our border because the Biden administration was not honest. But it's upwards of 10 million people. I've seen estimates it could be as many as 20 million people. There are an estimated 759,000 illegal immigrants residing in New York City alone. New York and its sanctuary policies have been a magnet for illegal immigrants to take advantage of taxpayer-funded housing, taxpayer-funded meals, taxpayer-funded health care, and even debit cards given to people because they chose to come here illegally. New York citizens are struggling to make ends meet. Under the highest taxes in the nation, the most burdensome regulations, but Governor Hochul and legislative Democrats, they dedicated more than $2 billion in state spending on illegal migrants. But what's even worse is that the sanctuary policies of New York are gravely jeopardizing safety. Of the more than 700,000 illegals in New York, an estimated 58,000 of them are either convicted felons or facing criminal charges in our state. And thanks to the Green Light Law, the law that Kathy Hochul enacted with support of the majorities in the state legislature to give driver's licenses to those that come to this country illegally, those individuals are shielded from detection by federal law enforcement like Buffalo ICE. And the cooperation from the DMV and local law enforcement is prevented with federal law enforcement officials. They will not allow federal law enforcement to access the database of license plates. It's unconscionable. There's only a small handful, if not two or three states in the country that have these shields in place. These federal agents' lives are being, put up in the air every single day. And I heard that from the U.S. Customs Patrol when I visited with them last year. And I heard it loud and clear today in my meeting with Buffalo ICE. The biggest barrier to the enforcement of this mission is New York's green light law. It needs to be repealed. Governor Hochul is putting the community in danger by not allowing federal officials to run New York State DMV databases. Period, end of story. Local law enforcement officials cannot coordinate, cannot work together with federal partners without facing the charges of felonies. Why would you put people that swear an oath to uphold and protect the public in that danger, that they would lose their livelihood if they cooperate with another level of government? We would never suggest that state troopers can't, communicate with the Lancaster Police Department. Cooperation between levels of law enforcement is common sense as we all fight for the common welfare of hardworking taxpayers. This law is incredibly dangerous and it is downright idiotic. And Governor Hochul has put every New York citizen and law enforcement officer at risk with this asinine policy. And everywhere I go, I talk to law enforcement about how detrimental this is to them. I hear the same feedback from them. As a border state, we have seen up to a 1,000% increase in illegal crossings in some portions of the northern border. This law poses a huge risk to our national security. To tell you just how hypocritical New York's green light law is in shielding that database from our federal law enforcement official, New York state government readily cooperates with the Canadian government, a different nation's federal government, to share that same database. So if someone goes and tries to cross into Canada and has been convicted of a DUI here in New York State, Canadian officials can prevent their entry, as is their policy. So you have a state government cooperating with a foreign government, but not our own federal government. And that's why I've signed on to legislation and working hard with Congresswoman Claudia Tenney to discuss federal funding for New York State unless it cleans its act up and gets this dangerous provision off of the books. In 2024, agents at the Swanton sector of our U.S. Border Patrol that covers more than 200 miles from Maine to the St. Lawrence River apprehended more than 19,000 illegal migrants from 97 different countries, including over 300 suspected terrorists. What I learned today with Buffalo ICE is most of the national security risk apprehensions have been on the northern border, not the southern border. And that's something that we all, as people here in Western New York, need to keep in mind that there are, you know, we have our great partner to the north, Canada, who has much different immigration laws. It is far easier to get into Canada than the United States even before January 20th. And it is not the best element that always comes in with the intention to come into the United States. I recently sent a letter along with four of my Republican colleagues in the New York delegation urging Governor Hochul to repeal the provisions of the green light law that restrict cooperation with law enforcement. And I'm going to do everything I can at the federal level to bring attention to just how dangerous New York's sanctuary policies are. They've always been dangerous, and we are now highlighting on a daily basis just how dangerous they are as the criminal element that have come into this country illegally are being apprehended. And the White House has done a very good job detailing what crimes that these people committed. And we have many of the people that have been apprehended that have endangered the welfare of children. I mean, you have murderers, you have rapists, and massive drug dealers. You have human traffickers. And as a member of the House Oversight Committee, we just yesterday announced an investigation into the policies of sanctuary jurisdictions like New York and how they're threatening public safety. We are going to be holding a hearing on February 11th where we are going to continue exposing how the leaders of these sanctuary jurisdictions are protecting criminals over law-abiding citizens. In the coming weeks and months, we will be working hand in glove with the Trump administration on sweeping legislation that will address this crisis and put it into law so that future administrations cannot undo it with a swipe of an executive order. I want to once again thank the men and women in uniform, from our Border Patrol agents to our local law enforcement officials who just want the tools to do their jobs, and especially those officers in the Buffalo ICE office that I had a chance to meet with today. It is a new day in America. And ladies and gentlemen, we have the back of our law enforcement once again in this country under the federal leadership. The rule of law of our nation's safety are once again paramount. Thank you, and I will take any questions that you have. Dave McKinley, Channel 2 News. I learned a lot about actions that are going on a regular basis. You know, a lot of that's been detailed and released. I mean, the Trump administration has released specific cases when they find specific criminals that have been apprehended and taken into detention and are being prepared for deportation. I would let them release the specifics. Okay. Well, you could feel free to reach out to them and their public information officers. Okay. Kristen. This is an ongoing. There's, you know, in broad strokes, there's an ongoing mission to go out of their way to get the people that are convicted criminals. And people that are posing a national security risk. That is what the mission is. I know there's some stations in town here that have gone out of their way to talk about school raids and things. That is not happening. That is absolutely not happening. That is not the mission that is being executed right now. They were very crystal clear about that with me. There is a effort to go. These are parents of children. These are family people. They're members of our community that are doing this job. And they are there finding the worst of the worst to get them off America's streets. And that's going on across this country right now.
Is there, there are reports across the country because this is going on from citrus fruit being hunted, people not showing up at restaurants. Then it's the question, and I wanted to ask you, are you getting feedback from like dairy farms?
No.
Like that, that say,
hey, none. Zero. Most of the farm workers in this state are part of the H-1 visa program, and they are vetted. And that is, and we want our dairy farmers aren't, unfortunately, despite our efforts so far, and we're going to keep working on that, is expanding that visa program so that we can get vetted migrant labor into the dairy industry, because right now it's only for seasonal picking. And it's for seasonal agriculture. We would like to have a year-round migrant workforce that's vetted so we know who comes in, who's here to do the work, and then they leave when they said they were going to leave, and we can keep track of it. Those people are not subject to this. These are people that are convicted criminals and that pose a national security risk. And that's what these officers are doing. They're doing it in real time, and they're getting the job done.
Thank you.
Yes.
I know this crackdown on immigration does have people who are legal immigrants, whether they be refugees or through the H-1B program.
Refugees are a totally different class. They are here. They have legal status because of the fact that they are refugees. This is not what is happening here.
Are you also, though, meeting with groups of people or groups that represent people who are here legally to figure out how to support them?
I'm not quite sure what support they need at this point because there's no refugees that are being apprehended. It's convicted criminals, and it's people that pose a national security risk.
ICE appears to be going after people that are already known to them and have criminal records. When that pool runs out here in Western New York, how have they indicated to you they're going to identify people that are here illegally?
I mean, the Buffalo ICE office, their area of operation is 48 counties in the state of New York. They got a lot of work to do. They need more resources, they need more officers, and you have 4 years of a wide open border. And just as I detailed, you know, somewhere around 50,000 known criminals in New York alone. Nationally, the numbers, I think, are great progress, but we had maybe 1,500 a day. This is going to take a lot longer to solve this problem than it did to cause this problem. And it's going to be expensive. It's going to take a lot of resources, but it's critically important to the safety of our country. I mean, several of you were there with me when I spoke in front of the courthouse last summer when the Peruvian killer was apprehended in Endicott. In this office, apprehended that. It was a detailed manhunt because he was wanted in Peru for 23 murders. He had every face of his victims tattooed on his body. And you know what these officers told me today, and one of them was on the apprehension, that he laughed in their face because he didn't think that the laws applied to him. And he came here on a plane with a ticket, just like anybody else, and no one checked anything. I mean, that's what's been wrong with the way this country's run in the last 4 years, and we're solving that problem day by day here. Yes? They're not going into schools. There's no women. There's no children. This is a mission to apprehend convicted criminals and those people that are thought to be creating a national security risk to the country. I mean, just like I detailed earlier, over 300 people on the terrorist watch list at the northern border. I mean, there are terrorists here in the United States that have come through due to this border crisis. We have to eliminate this terrorist element. And other noise that you're hearing, this mission is clear. It's about the criminal element, and it's about those that pose a national security risk, period.
Can I go back to the border where you're saying how many people are just crossed? And I think it's such a bad thing for people in general. Are they
sneaking? Illegal crossings.
Okay. Are they doing this at non-border crossings?
I don't think that they come here to the Peace Bridge and hand their driver's license. I don't think that.
They're not coming across the Peace Bridge.
I'm not saying none have. I mean, that's what we know has come here illegally.
You come back from getting our Chinese food at the Peace Bridge, you drive over and you stop here, and you can check on our side. Isn't that on us then? The amount of people getting in, isn't that on?
Well, there's also, if you look at our northern border, we have four bridges here. There's a whole lot of place that doesn't have any bridges. And you can walk across the northern border. The northern border as a whole. Now, that's obviously a very long, unsecure border when you get to the landlocked parts.
So I guess the point of my question, Congressman, is that generally speaking through the woods
of Minnesota. You have groups of people that are harboring the situation. You know, I'm not going to point fingers, but you can go do your research. There's a lot to unpack here. But the border on the north and the south is going to be secured, period. And anyone that stands in the way of that is going to have to answer to that. And I think you've seen a collaboration across the federal government. I was very heartened to hear from our officials here at ICE how this is a all hands on deck exercise. FBI, ATF, DOD, all the departments of the federal government working together for this mission. I saw Secretary Hegseth put out footage of Chinook helicopters going to the southern border, bringing troops to help that mission to secure that border to prevent further entry.
Thank you.
But you have to cauterize the wound before you can take care of everything that needs to happen here.
Okay, it sounds like
Kristen. No. No, I haven't heard that at all. I haven't heard anything of that. I mean, you got to be careful on social media.
It sounds like nationally there hasn't been enough taken the actual deportations yet. They're being held in custody until the process of action.
Every case is different. Some have to, it has to run its course. But the detention center in Batavia, it's filling up fast. I mean, there's a lack of bed space. I mean, and that was some of the thing that we talked about with the resources that are available. And I know that some of our local law enforcement, with their jails, partner with our federal officials and have contractual arrangements to do some of that detention. But again, this is once that process, plays out, some of those ones that you saw deported right away, those were ones that were ready to go on day one that these ICE officials have had their hands tied behind their backs for 4 years. And, because they're federal employees, they couldn't exactly go out and bring that, public. But now with an administration and a Congress ready to cooperate with their mission, which is securing this country from people that come here illegally and that are breaking the immigration laws of the United States of America, they can be much more forthright because their boss's boss isn't putting a gag order down saying you can't even enforce the laws on the books. And that's been the problem. We've had laws. The laws haven't changed. We're just now putting them back in enforcement.
Have you heard about any other kind of raids that
I don't think that they would announce a raid ahead of time. If there was a raid going on, that's something that they would do everything they could to make sure their officers are safe. You announce something like that in advance, I mean, it kind of defeats the purpose of a raid.
Mm-hmm.
We're reviewing the memo right now and trying to figure out what the impact is. But I think the president was pretty forthright when he said that we're going to examine all elements of the federal government. The Biden administration tried to shovel money out the door in the last month of the term at a frenetic pace. That had not been seen in generations. I assume some guidelines will be unpacked as the day and the week go on, but these federal grants don't come fast, and they usually come in one chunk. So if money has been delivered, it's not like they're scooping it out of bank accounts, but additional payments are on hold for right now.
Can you do that? Because I always thought that you guys hold.
We appropriate the money. The administration actually spends the money. So once the funds are allocated, the agencies will then distribute the funds. The administration prior did a hell of a job doing whatever they wanted to do with those monies. I mean, that's the Biden administration. So I believe that this is probably hand in hand with the DOGE program, where we want to really examine what's going out the door and making sure that monies, as they're distributed, follow the executive orders that President Trump has put out in his first days in office. And there are questions about that. And I this is something that can't obviously go on indefinitely, but another quick set of eyes on things doesn't hurt.
So you're not worried about an immediate impact on federal programs here in Buffalo that get money from these?
I don't believe this is anything that will drag on too long. And this is, the way these federal grants systems work, it's not instantaneous and it's not daily. It's periodic payments, if not one-time payments, to these different programs. Obviously, there's important research projects going on. I mean, we want to see these things move along, and we'll certainly be advocates for organizations within Western New York and our district on those important funding sources. But right now, I think he's just paused additional monies going out the door, and there will be agency and departmental review of those monies and how they've been allocated or expended. Because remember, I don't believe the Trump administration's been issuing grants yet. So he is putting cabinet officials in place that need to be confirmed by the Senate. And a lot of this is spending that was done on an agency level, and decisions were made on the grants by the departments, not by Congress. They monies are just allocated broadly to the departments. The departments then prioritize how they're aimed, unless it's specific and statutory. So I think it's important to put those reviews in place to see that everything's in line with the priorities of the administration. I don't believe the suicide hotline is going to run out of money today. So, no. These things don't, these funding sources don't function like that. It's not like daily injections of cash. I mean, these things are generally annual or semi-annual payments. So I don't believe that any of these organizations are in short-term danger in any way. Well, we obviously need more funding to fight the avian flu. I mean, and that's why when I was a member of the House Ag Committee, we fought to get a farm bill done. And we had monies identified to help promote that within our poultry farm. This is not a new problem. Unfortunately, the Senate, under Senator Schumer's leadership, stonewalled the farm bill, would not work across the aisle in a bipartisan fashion. When the Senate was in Democratic hands, the House was in Republican hands. We passed our bill out of committee. If they had done the same, we could have gone to conference and had a comprehensive five-year farm bill in law. Now, unfortunately, because the Senate Democrats would not put their product out, we couldn't enact the farm bill. We're on a one-year extender at past year's levels, and we have to start from scratch on the farm bill. And that is a real detriment to our farmers, that the Senate would not work on a farm bill when there was a Democrat in the White House. House Republicans were ready to do business, but they wouldn't reach across the aisle and do that. And obviously, you know, things will be different now. But our, you know, America's egg producers, they need a lift here. I mean, this bird flu is a concern. I mean, I saw reports out of Long Island that the last duck farm there had to unfortunately eliminate their entire amount of ducks. And it's you're hearing more and more stories about this. And people, if there's scarcity of eggs available, you know, there's going to be, unfortunately, an increase in prices. But we could have had a five-year farm bill done. The House product passed out of committee with bipartisan support. Five Democrats joined with the Republicans on the committee to pass it out. All they had to do in the Senate was pass theirs out of the Senate Ag Committee, and we could have done business. I mean, I had priorities for our district. I had seven bills in the baseline of that text, several of which Senator Gillibrand was the co-lead on it on the Senate side. It was bipartisan. There were so many bipartisan wins there that people on both sides of the aisle could agree on. They refused to get the job done in the later part of last year. And it didn't have anything to do with the results of the election. They just didn't do their work or thought that they'd get a better deal in the future. And unfortunately, they're not at the leadership table anymore. So. We are unpacking and figuring out, you know, what this memo exactly means. We can certainly communicate with you as we know more if it affects student loans or not. I am not aware yet on how exactly it will be executed. Well, obviously, our students need to, you know, go back to school. I know the spring semester has started. Most of those students would have probably already had those loans in place to pay that tuition. You know, this might be the right time to do that if they've already got their student aid and student loans in place, because they wouldn't be students right now but for that. But before we get into the next school year, that would be an issue that would obviously have to be there. I don't believe this will be a long-term problem. I think this is a review. No one should be afraid of someone looking twice. I wanted to hear what resources they need. I mean, I believe in this mission wholeheartedly. I support Buffalo Ice, and I support the rule of law and keeping our streets safer. I think everyone should have that mission. When you have a dangerous criminal element that has come into this country illegally, it needs to be eliminated. That's the Buffalo ICE office's job. That is what our law enforcement officers should be there to do, is to protect all of our families and theirs. And they're going to need more resources to undo 4 years of an invasion of this country. And that's exactly what it is. It's an invasion of this country that had willful neglect by the Biden administration. They allowed this invasion to happen. And it's going to take a hell of a long time to finish the mission. But getting the most dangerous element handled as swiftly as possible is what they're dedicated to. And you know, the amount of people that have that are in the crosshairs here that were endangering the welfare of children, child rape. I mean, this is something that can't be taken lightly. And anyone that wants to make noise about refugees or asylum seekers, while we know this element's here walking among us, really has to examine their own priorities. Because no one's, a refugee has status as a refugee. Asylum seekers have to go through the court system. I mean, this is, I don't believe most of those asylum seekers will ultimately get to stay in this country because they don't qualify for asylum under our laws. But the Biden administration rubber stamped all the paperwork, let anyone that wanted to claim asylum, claim asylum. But this criminal element, convicted criminals, and those that pose a national security risk, they have got to be removed from this country. Buffalo ICE is getting the job done, and I support them wholeheartedly.